Epilogue. She wouldn't let go of David. Siri had to pry her loose, finger by finger, while talking to her in a low voice. He rode with her to the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai, where a woman doctor examined her for damage. Her physical injuries had already healed. The Witchblade would not suffer a damaged host. Only shock, the doctor declared, and gave her a sedative. Siri drove her home and tucked her in. I'm putting a guard out here just in case. Sarah rallied. You don't have to do that, Joe. I've got Los Romeros. He wondered what she meant, did it anyway. She hated the fact they'd put her under, hated that she wouldn't be in on the cleanup. She fell through warm gauze toward a feather bed. When she woke, it was noon Monday, and Raj was seated in a kitchen chair he'd brought into the bedroom, and was sipping tea from a cup. Shmendrick perched contentedly on his lap. Greetings. It is I, Raj. I see that. What are you doing here? I am protecting you from the press and seeing you do not choke on your own vomit. Sarah sat up, feeling woozy. What time is it? Raj set his teacup down in its saucer on a tray on a TV table, and carefully lifted the cat to the floor. It is just past noon on Monday, and even as we speak, the mayor, the commissioner, and the chief are proudly declaring that the case of the samurai killer has been solved. Memory caught up with Sarah in a great, walloping smash and took her breath away. A sob clawed its way unbidden from her lips. Raj rose. I shall get you some tea. Sarah fumbled for the remote and keyed on the little Sony that perched on her dresser. There was Joe, reading from a teleprompter in a monotone. Responsible for these murders. He had all the missing blades, hanging on the wall of his studio. Quaffed heads bobbed for attention. An especially shrill reporter drowned out all others. Chief, Mr. Commissioner, wasn't Detective Pezzini involved in this case? Didn't she in fact shoot the alleged perpetrator? I have no comment. Sarah switched it off. Oh David, first decent guy she'd dated in years, and he turns out to be the samurai killer. A case could be made that David was innocent, being possessed by a blood-crazed 14th century samurai at the time of the murders, but this was small comfort to the victims' families. Sarah held her right hand up and stared at the swirl of silver orbiting her wrist. Very French nouveau today. You didn't warn me because you were in love too. You and Muramasa's bloody blade. Raj returned to the room with an old tray he'd dug out of her cupboard, a silver pot of tea, and a plate of Pepperidge Farm Bordeaux cookies. To whom are you speaking? I was just talking to myself, Raj. Thanks for babysitting, but I'm all right now. The chief told me in no uncertain terms to stay here until I was relieved. I'm relieving you. I'll take full responsibility. You are certain? Want me to throw you out? That will not be necessary. She padded after him and made sure the door was locked and the phones were off. She took a shower for 15 minutes, toweled herself off and put on a set of workout fleece. She sat in the middle of the living room cross-legged for a while staring out the window at a high cloud in the west. Sometimes the cloud resembled a horse, sometimes a man. But when all was said and done, it was just a cloud. She stared down at her wrist. Did you have to kill him? She sobbed. She was overwhelmed with such a feeling of loss and regret, it was like a physical blow. The ethereal voice came from everywhere and nowhere. Skyroot rejected, my love. The end. You have been listening to Ghost Sword, a Witchblade novel by Mike Barron.